What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to the NBA Outlet. I'm your host, Nick Faye. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. What's up, Corey? You podcast fatigue? This is what our it's your third of the day, my fourth of the day right now.
Yeah, we're on a grind right now. But this is good because come playoff time, the NBA Outlet generally does what? You know, 2 to 5 shows a week, depending on how many live halftime shows we end up doing and everything else. So we're just getting into playoff mode over here.
Yeah, this is honestly arguably like the busiest day of the year because you get one day to deal with all these playoff matchups. But and then the NBA wanted to make it more interesting, and we have all types of firing and Magic Johnson resigning and all these fun things to talk about. So playoff previews are already out. You can check that out. iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, and YouTube. Also, check out New Full Access Hoop, New Brooklyn Buzz, diving deeply into the Nets and Sixers series. But Corey, let's get into it with the news we got this week. During the Lakers' last game, right beforehand, Magic Johnson decides, hey, I don't want to do this job anymore. I'm stepping down.
And so, Laker-like, to steal the spotlight away from Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki, who were also celebrating their final home games in front of their crowds. And, of course, in the middle of that, all that, we get the Woj bomb, the Shams bomb, whoever dropped it first, that Magic Johnson was calling an impromptu.
It was like a magic bomb because he like did it himself. He didn't tell anybody. He's just like, yeah, you guys, actually, I believe the exact event went on. Luke Walton was having a press conference and it ended. And then Magic was like, hey, I guess I'm going to have a press conference too. Someone's here. And all of a sudden he just has a press conference and then boom.
Yeah. And it turned into like a 45-minute therapy session.
Yeah, it was strange.
Where Magic Johnson at moments cried. At moments laughed, at moments told jokes, went down memory lane. It had to be one of the top three weirdest moments in my life in terms of watching the NBA, following the NBA that I've ever seen. Coming the second to last day of the season, it really coming out of nowhere. I know it was reported that Rob Pelinka and Magic met with LeBron the Saturday before and gave no implication that this was coming. Everyone has speculated, including Luke Walton, that he was going to get fired by Magic Johnson. And now that's kind of out of the window. The fact that Magic Johnson gets in front of the media and quits and goes, somebody's got to tell my boss because I haven't told Jeannie yet. it's just like you can't make this up. It was literally it was Hollywood.
Yeah, it was a unique situation because it's already weird for president of basketball operations to just randomly step down and call a press conference and do it. But the fact Magic Johnson is such a big piece of the NBA as a player, as a personality, as he was in the media, and now being the face of the Lakers as a president, and then having the success signing LeBron, and then obviously the Lakers season not going as well, it's like it's not surprising that he quit or he's no longer the president of basketball operations. It's just super weird the way he went about it. And like you said, not telling Jeannie. And then, you know, his reasoning was he felt like he was getting backstabbed. He couldn't be himself. He talked about how he just wanted to tweet. You know, we all just want to tweet out here. That's just life. But it just was really weird. It's like, and I'm not trying to take direct shots at him, but it's felt like he thought this wasn't going to actually be a job. He thought it was going to be really fun. He alluded to how sealing the deal was like the funnest part of the job and signing free agents and stuff, but he didn't want to put work in the other aspects of the job.
Yeah, I know. I saw stuff that he was rarely ever actually at the stadium. He had very sporadic office hours. He just never bought in. And, you know, we've kind of seen this with Magic Johnson. He quit kind of abruptly as a head coach. He walked away from, a game show or whatever he had going at ESPN at one point. It just seems like when he gets invested in something, and then as soon as he's not feeling it anymore, then he's ready to move on to the next thing. And obviously, he just kind of wants to be the ambassador again. He wants to try and help players come to the Lakers. Yeah, at the end of the day, like you mentioned, he wants to tweet. He wants to be able to talk to Ben Simmons freely. He mentioned something really weird, too. Like, he couldn't congratulate Westbrook on his 2020 game. He couldn't say anything about Wade. Like, I'm pretty damn sure he could have tweeted, shout out, like, congratulations, Westbrook, on 2020, and he wouldn't have gotten fined. Like, I think for some reason Magic Johnson thought if he opened his mouth about another player that it was tampering. Like, no, Magic, you just can't openly tell a guy, we want you to come to L.A., you should come to L.A. You just can't be that open about it. But you can interact with other people and have conversations.
Yeah, it's almost like he thought that, hey, I'm gonna take this job and they're gonna kind of change the rules for me because I'm Magic Johnson and I'm gonna kind of be able to do whatever I want. When in theory, there's rules, there's regulations, there's things you have to follow, and there's dirty work you have to put in. And it just felt like he didn't necessarily want to do that. And I felt like honestly, he did a pretty bad job. Like it wasn't just in terms of the roster creation. There's talk about the overall vibe not necessarily being great between him and Rob Pelinka. Obviously, the tension between him and Luke Walton, just overall, I just don't think the position worked out for him.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, even in that press conference, they asked him, does he think Rob Pelinka is going to do a good job? And he was like, I don't know.
and he talked about everything else like so freely. And then that he tried to be professional talking about Rob. He was like, oh, it's a genius decision. So there's definitely some like weird vibes to that. And I think it just wasn't necessarily as easy as he thought it was going to be. So he's like, you know what? I'm good. I got LeBron. I'd help the Lakers out. And then he talked about how they're in a better position. But it's like, hey, man, you just wasted a whole entire year of LeBron's prime.
Right. And then, you know, there's two more points too that stick out to me. The one was him going out of his way to mention D'Angelo Russell.
Oh, God.
Mentioning how he was immature. Granted, it was a 19-year-old, how he's really matured. But if anything, he made himself look worse after how he dragged D'Lo through the mud, you know, just 2 years ago to now kind of trying to walk back.
D'Lo's a freaking better leader for the Nets than he was as the Lakers president of basketball operations. And D'Angelo Russell is 23 years old.
Get him.
He asked him about it. They asked him about it. And he said, my 2 feet are in Brooklyn. I don't care what they're saying about me over there anymore. So it's crazy that, like, I love it. The fact that people still take shots at D'Angelo Russell and saying he's immature. Yeah, obviously he was immature when he was a Laker, but he was 19 years old, 20 years old. Like, shit, some people are still immature at 23 or 24. He's 23, just led the Nets to the playoffs. Like, please stop talking about a young kid like that.
Exactly. And there was one other point I wanted to mention about Magic, but I'm drawing a blank now. If I come back to it, I'll mention it.
And I feel like in some ways it was actually a real positive for the Lakers because they can get a more professional president that knows what they're doing. And to be honest, like him and Rob just didn't really have a great idea how to run a front office. They didn't have the experience necessary. Rob was an agent, you know, he was on the other end of it. He had some idea, but not all the different things. And I just think the whole situation, it just wasn't great. You know, they drafted a few good players, but overall it's not like they did anything amazing.
And that's what I wanted to mention. There is, I don't know, I'm sure you've heard about it. There's a report apparently coming out soon from ESPN on Magic Johnson and some of the inner workings in Lakers ownership. I'm not sure what necessarily is going to be in this report, but it also, I know this was announced and then Magic Johnson kind of abruptly quit, resigned. So this report could shine some negative light on Magic Johnson because it has been said that he's a rather tough person to be around at times.
Yeah, they said it was some of the like workplace mistreatment or, I mean, if I'm just envisioning and I'm just pure speculation about like him expecting things to be a certain way and them not working out and him not taking any accountability for it. Like, I think the whole fact that when he came out and said stuff about Luke Walton early in the season, like nobody really thought, at least like most people who really dove deep into the NBA thought that was a great roster. Like he did a whole bunch of things that just didn't fit the current NBA. It's like, yeah, you try everyone zigging and you tried to zag, but it just didn't work out. It's just not going to work against these teams. And it just didn't go his way, and then he just kind of dipped off.
Yeah, and then again, you know, I think we can look at the deadline, and that is the nail in the coffin for Magic Johnson. Yeah, I guess Pelinka gets blame in that as well, but the Zubac trade that made no sense.
I think that was embarrassed him. I really do. I think like the fact that reports came out that other, you know, front office people were literally laughing about the Lakers doing that trade.
Yeah, I mean, that was a terrible move, especially seeing how Zubac has played for the Clippers in a bigger role. I mean, he's been a stud.
He's literally a trade chip in an Anthony Davis trade. Like, he's a player that the Pelicans could have had interest in.
Yeah, so right there, I think that is almost the best way to kind of characterize Magic Johnson's tenure as basketball of operations is the fact that he traded Zubac away for a guy that they waived, correct? Who they got, Muscala. They still got Muscala, technically.
And he got plenty of DMPs. So it was just like the roller coaster didn't work out. And like I said, the Lakers might end up in a better position. I think it's really important for them to nail the next hiring here. Luke Walton's probably gone. most likely, but the next president has to be someone with experience that can kind of take them to have a really big offseason, because this is crucial. And we've talked about it before. You know, things don't go right. Who knows? LeBron could ask for a trade because he doesn't think the team could have any success moving forward. But anything else you want to throw on the Lakers?
Not to scare Laker fans, but I have already seen a couple tweets that Rob Pelinka apparently is going to be getting more power following this.
Yeah, that was some talk, which we don't really know the inside scoop of what's going on. So maybe if Rob does have more power, it could work out on a positive end. He still does have a lot of connections, but there is some things that obviously were wrong, and we don't know how much Magic had say, things along those lines. So definitely
get Dave Griffin.
Reunite him with LeBron. Obviously, he knows how to deal with that personality, that type of chemistry, and what type of team to support him when he won a championship and took down the Warriors with him. So obviously, it's going to be an interesting offseason for the Lakers. We already anticipated that. Now it's like times two. Now we got some other news today. The Cavaliers and Larry Drew parted ways. Not really surprised here. And honestly, one point of the season that really just made me like lose a lot of respect for Larry Drew. And I was just like, does this guy even prep for NBA games? He did not know who Rodion Skoruks was when they played the Nets.
Yeah, I remember us talking about that a little bit, because I actually thought he said that following the game where Rodion Skoruks had a very nice outing against Cleveland that night too. But that moment kind of shows that he just wasn't all in. I know that he didn't even want the job initially.
Yeah, I thought that he was going to like end up resigning like midway through the season and hoping to get somebody else. I mean, I get it, but like, I watch a ton of NBA. I'm not an NBA head coach, but if I was, I'd be watching even more NBA. And like, I just couldn't imagine not knowing who a player is. I pretty much know every single player in the NBA, at least to start the season. Obviously, there are G League call-ups that you don't know, but not knowing like a guy from a rookie class, like, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't even know, like, is anyone interested in Cleveland's head coaching job?
I don't think it's a low-pressure job. It's a great situation for a young head coach looking to develop his skill set. Like, I ideally, if I'm Cleveland and I'm looking for my, you know, trying to hire my next head coach, I'm looking for a young guy, somebody along the lines of like a Kenny Atkinson or a Lloyd Pierce, a player development guy. I know I'm not going to sign big free agents, so it's going to be about me developing young talent.
For sure. It's, I mean, I guess Colin Sexton has some appeal too. It's just Jetty, Cleveland.
Jetty's a solid player too. And I think, you know, Obviously they have a first round pick this year, so there could be some more potential there. Maybe they get lucky, land the lottery, but it's going to be a lot of what we've seen some of the bad teams do in the past, you know, take on some bad contracts, get a high pick. You know, J.R. Smith could end up getting them another draft pick the way that his contract structured, because it's only partially guaranteed, giving somebody a cap relief. Just going to be having to make a lot of the right moves in Cleveland. Over to Memphis, J.B. Bickerstaff was fired as well. They kind of restructured the front office, which, you know, we thought was going to happen. Our guy Brendan Smarts usually gets the inside scoop on Memphis, and he mentioned to me a couple times that he thought all this was going to happen, and he wasn't a big fan of Bickerstaff or a big fan of the front office.
Yeah, you know, Bickerstaff, he was the interim head coach a couple of years ago.
He was the interim head coach the season prior, and then he ended up getting the job.
Right, and he was also the interim head coach, I think, that one year in Houston after they fired whoever was before D'Antoni.
Kevin McHale.
Kevin McHale, yeah, he was the interim head coach then too, I believe. Yeah, I mean, no surprise here, really. I mean, Memphis, they're trying to – I mean, them trading away Marcus Gasol clearly means that they're trying to move away from grit and grind, and I think – with that being said, you're going to want to reshape everything, the culture from head coaching all the way down, and you're going to want to get a new guy in there who kind of fits whatever new mantra you're going to try and build. Obviously, I think they're going to go more towards pace and space. And, you know, the guy like Jaren Jackson is going to be the guy to kind of lead the way. So I'm not surprised by this.
Valanciunas has been really good for them since the trade as well. Delon Wright has really picked up his late. So they do have a couple decent young pieces. A lot of opportunity in Memphis, not another non-high-pressure situation. And then also, some people found this surprising, but I think really with the Kings and also Jaeger's past, it wasn't surprising he got fired today from the Kings head coaching job.
Yeah, I mean, not surprised. I know we've seen these reports even before the year. I think he almost got fired back in November, I want to say.
There was a lot of talk. There was just like a lot of tension in that group.
Yeah. And obviously, you mentioned this a little bit off wax. Thank you, Jack, Manuel, and Nick, for finally telling me what off wax meant a couple months ago. But we talked about this a little bit off wax. And you had mentioned how, well, Dave Jaeger May not necessarily be the easiest guy to get along with. He's kind of clashed with management before, especially in Memphis, which is what kind of led to him getting ousted from there. So anytime you're beefing with your bosses, they're going to probably look to get you out. Now, granted, from my personal perspective, putting aside whatever tensions there may be, I don't think Dave Yeager deserved to be fired. When it comes to the actual performance and production that he got out of the Sacramento team this year, obviously Sacramento took a major leap forward. They were a lot better, I think, than probably like 98% of us thought they were going to be. They were in the playoff race right up until the end of the season, just about. De'Aaron Fox took a major step forward. Buddy Hield became a major guy going forward. I liked what I saw from Marvin Bagley. I liked what I saw from Harry Giles, who's coming back. You know, he had a couple knee injuries, knee surgeries over the past years. He looked good. I think we saw nice production from Bogdanovich as a scorer off the bench. Like, I just really like what Sacramento has, and I thought Dave Yeager was a big part of why this team took such a leap forward. Obviously, your main concern is whoever you bring in for head coach, you can't afford this team to take a step back if you're management.
I think the one thing about, you know, he did a great job in terms of the player development and the season they had. But I think if you look at it from a long-term perspective, it's like, all right, am I going to keep around a guy who I don't believe is my long-term head coach? And he's just going to probably create more tension and it kind of progresses. Like, yeah, he had a great season, but let's bring in somebody that we're going to get along with and we're going to have a long-term future with, so we can kind of set the franchise up and we don't disrupt what's going on with the players and create some type of situation where the player doesn't know if they should be trusting the front office or they should be trusting their head coach.
That's a fair point. That's probably the best point to make in all this. If you're Sacramento's ownership, is, you know, this is your core going forward, right? These guys probably aren't going to move. I think Harrison Barnes is probably the only guy you can maybe see out of Sacramento in the future. But realistically, this is the group you're going forward with. So if you don't think Yeager is going to be the guy to bring you to the promised land, wherever the promised land may be in your mind, whether that's the playoff, whether that's a deep playoff run, whether that's finally trying to bring a title to Sacramento, if Dave Yeager you don't believe is the head coach, then you have to go out and find a guy who can not just – help these young guys progress, but can really elevate them into that next level.
And I think it's a very intriguing job. Like, you're coming in with a lot of young talent, a team that's on the cusp of the playoffs. They do have some cap space. I don't know if they'll be able to secure a big move, but it's a really interesting team if you were to become the head coach next season.
Wait, what'd you say next? Sorry, you broke up a little bit.
I said it would be like, I would probably be the best job on the market compared to the other two.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, like we said, they were a playoff contending team for much of the year. You have to think, too, that maybe if they add a decent vet or a decent role player, Harrison Barnes gets more running time with this team, that they don't take another step forward.
100%. It'll be interesting to see, you know, not only the free agent acquisitions of the summer, but it's going to be the head coaches and the front office changes that we see along. Anything else you want to touch on, Corey, before we get out of here?
No. We podcasted out. This has been our playoff prep. We had a couple like playing game podcasts, it feels like.
Just promise me you won't call a press conference during the playoffs and quit.
No guarantees.
All right, guys. As always, and girls, appreciate you listening. Check us out, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTG Basketball.com, Google Play, and YouTube.
Peace out.